Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still
Radio coming to you through Blog Talk Radio, and we're a group of poets that are on allpoetry.com. So if you get your way to the internet and you get your way to All Poetry, then introduce yourself at the door to a team of voices, and the person who will be standing at the door saying hello and welcoming you will be Deborah Lee. Hi Deb, how are you?
Hey P, well, how are you?
Good, thank you. And I should say, although Shout Even Shy did sing and give the music to that lovely little ditty, it was our friend and colleague Joe Hatter who did the lyrics to that. And Joe's normally with us, but maybe not today, Deb.
Well, he said he couldn't find his eyes,
right.
So he had no collab lines to give me. But I told him we would just do
right.
it next week and to call us anyway.
Yes.
So we yes. shall see. Hatter, if you're listening,
well, we
call us.
Well, I suspect that this may well be Hatter now. Hello, Hatter. How are you?
Yeah, I'm listening. What's up?
That was fast.
Ah, that was very fast. Good to see you. How are you?
I am... behind, late, forgetful, advanced Alzheimer's. Yeah. I can't wait till I can't remember anything. I can't wait till I can't remember anything. Then I won't worry about it.
Well, I can say advanced Alzheimer's, I think, is the point where you actually don't worry about anything because you can't recall that anything's happening. But you're obviously not there at the minute because you're getting concerned about it, you know. So, you know, I wouldn't be concerned that you've advanced Alzheimer's.
Yeah, I got no eyes. I got no eyes today.
No, no nose. So, well, that's okay.
Yeah. Okay, the blind DJ host.
Well, no, that's okay because I've got boards. So you just need to sort of rock along with us. We'll just go slow and because we've got some poems and I'm not sure if anybody's we've got a set out and I've actually got a couple of soup poems, Pato.
I can imitate Norm MacDonald.
I'm trying to finish mine.
Yeah.
Well, see, I've got two soup poems here. Two soup poems.
Okay.
And I even found once and only time that I did a short story about the French detective Perrault. And would you believe that story was centered around soup? And so I was going to do that little ditty and see if you could guess, either of you, who the person was who did the killing deed, and secondly, how they did it.
All right. Clue. We're going to play Clue. In what room and what weapon?
Well, there are clues in the short story, Adam. I will read it, and you will have to divine them out of the story.
Let's do this. Oh, not yet?
So, well, okay. I was thinking I'd read one of my soup poems first to get us into the sort of feel for it, Hannah, you know?
Yeah, because I'm switching rooms. You know, I'm not near the computer yet. I want
to... I have a story.
So, here we go. The first one I'm doing is, there's the quirky one or there's the one you'll like? And I think I'll do the quirky one first. And remember how I very carefully said there's the one you'd like and the one you wouldn't like, so I was assuming that you won't like this one, but we'll see. This is about fleas. You ready, Hatter?
Oh.
Cool. I tell you, this is quirky. This is about fleas. It goes a little bit like this. The peas were in a formal queue. For coffee, it was barely dawn, and lined as choosing their brew, when in came charging of morn. Divided between Cafe Mocha and the ice green tea scored, should have noticed the locker, where the savoury bites all stored. The hot sun cracked the clear glass, it shattered as if it was a gunshot. As peas in the straight line passed, left all mushy green on the spot. Janitor, no longer than able to vamoose, across at the nearby deli store, pea soup was selling like juice. End poem.
Pea soup. Now this was the quirky one.
That's the quirky one. That's right.
Wait, Hatter. You had to ask.
I'm still gathering myself here.
No. But the prompt, just to put it in context, the prompt was mind your P's and Q's. I thought that was a wonderful response to the prompt.
Wait, was that for Sweet a while back?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah. When you hear or read quirky, you're one of the first people that I think, oh, I could be AP, because there's quite often that I'll say, only you. Right, Hatter?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, holy.
Well, there were peas. They were in queue, you know, and that happened. So, you know, but, you know, it had soup.
Well, you got the peas and queues. I wrote one about the dot in all my I's and cocked in all my T's.
Really? Did it have soup in it? Really?
No, no soup. No soup.
That's a shame.
Just crossing I's and T's.
No, I see. That.
I do have one, though.
So?
Hold on.
Do you have a soup?
I do. Let me go
really?
Fetch it. Yes, I worked on it this week, and I was able to wrap it up with no eyes, blind. So I don't know what it's going to be.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Beautiful. Okay. Well, if you have one, let's put it on the board. I actually went back.
Yep, here it is. Okay.
Grabbed it. Listen.
Oh.
I thought that was season two. I really did. I thought there was something with that. Anyway.
Save it. Okay, where is it? Where is it? Submit. There we go. I'm getting there.
Perfect.
Hey, Deb.
Okay.
Did you watch football today? Did you watch college games?
Did I watch the college games? No, I did not.
Yeah.
I like to watch the big boys on Sunday.
They play for money.
Yeah.
College plays for heart.
Sunday night, I think. Hey, now, jump on the
board. Well, I'm trying to kill time so I can get there. Hold on. Yeah, I posted it. Now I got to find it.
Oh, okay.
He's playing hide and seek with his poetry.
It is.
I was going to say.
And it's called Soup.
Yes. Well, that's on topic. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So A for the title. Okay. Here we go. A team of voices. There's Deb. Hi, Deb. Right here.
Hi, Hatter.
Boom. Okay. Forgive me for the rush and the no edit, but here we go.
No. Here goes. No, we've got it.
The
floor is yours.
It was like this, and I wanted you to know that there were a couple of times I was cursing you a little bit there, AP. Soup? Well, how am I going to?
I thought you would.
I figured you'd not.
No, it was like this.
The Earl shouted to get him something to eat, layered upon his hand one slice of meat between the layers to hold together the greatest invention, sliced meats. A Duke watched with jealous eyes, a quick snack he decides. No toast, no cereal, no mutton, no stew, stay in line, no soup, do not speak, no soup for you. Carried in a flagon with the three-toed dragon, soup cannot be good in a vessel with a pestle, nor Dixie cups, or what's up? Beware the glass with an ass, or a bucket to suck it in a white limousine. Short chefs and treble clefs, a pantry midget can be misleading. Sump or pump on a 4-inch slump, there are no slabs to be had. See, God darn it, I didn't take my Indian. No slabs.
Well,
I tried to get to the Earl
double,
sandwich, Duke of Hamburger,
it
whatever
it
is.
It has the double rhyme thing happening, which I like.
I was rhyming.
Yeah. Which was really cool, and then it sort of stopped, which was, you know, not as cool, but it was fun. I'll give you that.
We'll put this one down as my quirky one then. Hopefully you like.
You can put it as your quirky one. Exactly.
Okay. Some pump on a 4-inch lump. There you go. I don't slap me.
Yes.
All right.
But, you know, I think it was obvious though that it probably needed a few minutes of editing. Let's say that.
Should it does more than a couple, but I didn't come empty-handed.
So
it's okay to say. It's okay to say. Andrew, admitted, is it? Is it?
It was sort of missing sort of some of the soup elements. As some might say, it was sort of a little cold. And if you look at the board, Dad, you'll actually see the remnants of the soup that my aunt gave me 2 weeks ago. Frozen.
Yeah. I was
frozen soup.
I was
thinking of another term
besides pantry midget. I was thinking kitchen midget, but
yes. So, well, I was talking about 15 soups in the freezer, Hatter, if you have a look at the board. Most of them are vegetable, but there's some pumpkin, which was what actually sort of got me going into this topic in the first place, was the fact that I had a mile of soups in the freezer, although I have eaten them down, as you said. Okay. So, Hatter. We have got a Perot sort of what's the right word? It's a mystery, okay? It's a mystery.
Has that been
and
that's your freezer. I thought that was your place. Look at that furniture. Look at the furniture of that place.
Oh no! That's the freezer. This just but meantime, I am going to my story, and I'm not going to post it because it's actually got the answer in it.
Oh.
So I'm going to have to listen. And I don't know if Deb's there. Deb, are you there too?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Right. So the way this is going to work is that if you actually get the person who's the murderer right, and you've got one choice, you get 250 points. More importantly, if you get how the person was killed, you get 1,250 points. So there's points. You ready?
If you get what? If you get what?
Well, you have to listen.
Person and...
250 points.
And how?
250 points if you get the murderer right. Add up. 250 points if you get the murderer right. 1,250, though, if you get how they were murdered.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. You ready?
I'm ready.
So,
yep.
this is the Perot story. So you both have to listen. You've got one guess each at the end for who was the killer and how they did it. You ready?
Yep.
Here we go. And they've done this before. Good work, good not work. Radio was all about not having, well, I guess, about stories. Here we go. Anyway, shoes. Inquired Perot. Yes, sir, said I, the head chef of the household, John Hughes. As I cannot question Mrs. Smythe due to her vexatious headache after starter, I will now turn to you, as he pivoted his small rotund body on the spot to face me. I want to ask you your recollection about tonight's events. Sir, yes, sir. Where were you, Hughes, during dinner? Questioned Perot to the assembled gathering of family and guests, all standing in the large scullery kitchen. Right here, sir. We have had a flu through the staff and I was needed to help prepare dishes. So you prepared what? Considered Perot, looking over his small glasses. Ah, I recall. I helped with the soup and the salad, I said. And it was aniseed soup. An unusual choice, exclaimed Perot loudly, looking at the menu. The butler Miles interjected. Mr. Perot, Mr. Smythe is just through that door over there recuperating. Please talk more quietly. Perot stared daggers, but did look suitably chastened. I continued, answering his earlier challenge. Sir, I have served the soup many times with great success as a starter to cod. Perot poked at the bowls in question, stacked at the corner of the kitchen to where they had returned, ready for washing. Perot observed through his dishes, and cod, indeed, has made a comeback of late, sir, very simply taste-basted with some fresh herbs and a floral salad from the garden. Do you want to try some? There are leftovers. No, indeed I do not, said Perot with a dismissive sniff and turn of his nose. There was a pause for reflection. Now, he waited for effect, please show me the leftover salad bowl.
I reached over to regather the individual serving plates. No, there was no salad bowl. No salad bowl, he queried. No, sir. We serve specific family motif designs to individual plates made from edible nasturtiums. Perot noted the remnants of the family crest in green, yellow and purple leaves on the plate of the dead lord. Nice work. Now maybe we can tour the garden. Well, of course, I said in reply. Perot walked through the garden for 10 minutes, noting the old varieties of plants, and then gathered everybody back. Well, as to the lord's murderers, I have my suspicions, he said. Then I turned to you and Deb, Hatter. Hatter and Deb, we have the dead lord. Do you want to guess who was the murderer, number one? Deb, did you want to guess first?
Wait. We didn't have anything to follow along. Is this something written down?
No, but I see the whole thing is
okay,
it's
cool. And in the meantime, you also have Stephen and or Kay and Sky in the room listening
Good
with
Lord.
Us as well, but I'm not sure how much they've heard.
Oh, well, that's okay. Well, I'm just going to put what I've got up on the board.
It's Stephen with an axe. In the pantry.
Sorry, Stephen. With a what?
Okay, name the suspects again.
I'm putting it up on the board. Bear with me, Hatter. Bear with me.
Yeah.
So, hold on. I mean, Perot himself could have done it. You know, it could. Well, it's not doing anything. You know, it's a great frustration to me when I go and I try and copy and paste things. It happens to me often in Hikmakpo. I try and put things on the board, and it steadfastly refuses to copy and paste them. And it's like, for fuck's sake, you know, not that hard. Right, hold on.
Welcome to my world.
Right. It is now copied. I have copied the whole story so far onto the group message board so that you can actually read it. Now, I hasten to add that's not the end of the story yet, because if I put the end of the story, then you'd know who did it, and there would be no point in the asking, would there? It's a Perot story. It's written about a soup in this particular case. In this particular case, it's written
not to be rude, let me interrupt for a moment. Two things, AP.
Yes.
I wanted to tell you that Wayne is here as well. And because
Hi,
of the three newcomers, will you point out the passage on the board and tell them real quick what we're doing and then let us guesses?
I will. Now, Sky, Stephen, and Wayne. Because I try to do something different all the time, God help me. What I have done is I have found that I wrote a Perot mystery story about sort of soup. And so what I have done is put that story up on the board, but not with the ending, which tells you who the murderer was. And it also tells you how, more importantly, they murdered this poor person. So, Deb, did you want to know about who the murderer was?
Well, you know how your first inclination is always to say, like, the butler did it, or the chef, or, you know. So, like, you know, that's where your head starts out, especially if Perot is a arrogant pisser, and then you want to just smack him in his head, and you might be inclined to put a little bit of arsenic in his soup. So I was thinking, but then you start thinking about Mrs. Smythe, and then you wonder, you know, does she like somebody, and somebody don't like her back, and then you got me going all kinds of crazy places trying to look for these little clues. And then there was a flu, and that flu that went through everybody could have came from the chef as well. So it puts me back to the butler did it type of thing. So let's hang out with Hughes for a little bit.
Okay. So,
I think it was
so
in the garden.
I think it was in the garden by the hoe.
You think it was in the garden by the hoe? That's cute. Yes. Any further guesses?
Yeah, I'm looking.
I think the...
Who's
the guy from... The flagon with the dragon did not have the brew that was through. And
no, it wasn't the dragon.
Cold comet.
Yes. But it was a good guess,
AP.
But it wasn't the dragon. Yes,
Who's from Nesterums? Which person is from Nesterums?
Well, no, they're edible flowers.
Wow. Oh, the Nesterums are
edible
flowers? Okay.
Yeah, they're edible flowers. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
It's
got to be by the family crest.
Oh. Sorry, it's got it had up. What was that?
I said it's got to be something with the family crest, I think.
Yes, it does. Whoever the family crest is from, who did it?
The family crest. Well, Hatter?
No.
I reckon you probably get the points for that.
That's what I was being ambitious about. That was it.
Because that what actually happened was, you see, the family crest, you see, that the Lord had, if you remember the colours, was in green, yellow, and purple. Yes?
Yeah.
Now, it is true that there are green and yellow nasturtiums, but there are no purple nasturtiums, Hatter.
Oh, gee, I was going to let that... I was
no
just about to check the colours.
There are no purple nasturtiums. And it's also true that if you have aniseed soup, it hides the flavour of deadly nightshade, which deadly nightshade, of course, has purple leaves, which is, of course, how the chef killed the Lord. Purple salad leaves in his individual salad plate, the taste of which was obscured by the aniseed.
And he was colorblind.
Wasn't colorblind. No. He had aniseed. He tasted it.
Oh.
So, there you go. I reckon you get the points out of that. So, anyway, there you go. Dev, I tried something completely different.
That was brilliant. That was brilliant.
Dev.
I tried something completely different.
But I don't know whether it worked or not, but I tried it. Anyway, in the meantime, we've got a whole board of people that have joined us, which is kind of cool. Stephen, did you want to... I'm assuming that you're going to be in a bit of a hurry when you're not trying to decide sort of parole sort of. Did you go next?
Yes, I do need to get to bed. Yeah. And I just brought a quick brownie today.
No, brilliant. Perfect.
Yeah. All right, this is called... Soup is good food. Delectable ivory serpents swim past orange nickels and translucent green crescent moons in a steaming golden sea. Enter.
That was cool.
Oh, shit.
I like that. Deb, did you want to say a few words about steaming rice?
Well, you know, Stephen now has the Campbell Soup commercial in my head. Soup is good food. So, like, yeah, thanks for that, Stephen, because later on when I try to lay down for a few hours, that commercial is still going to be in my head, and I'm going to say, damn it. But it's a cool little brevity.
Thanks, Deb.
Sorry, I thought I was on mute. I apologize.
No, that's okay. Skye, did you want to say some words now?
Yes. No, I was just yelling. I was just yelling on your show. I thought this was great. Stephen, did you change your title? So because I see that I read this before, and I said, I know nothing. So was it like, guess what this is, and I couldn't guess? I'm like, obviously, either I didn't read the title, or she changed the title. I thought this was clever. I do the swim past orange nickels and translucent green. But it just doesn't sound, what is this, like pea soup? Like, I don't know.
Hello.
Well,
no, the orange nickels.
Vegetables, because you got carrots, right? Because you got carrots and peas in there. Yeah.
Green crescent moons.
That's pretty cool, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's good.
Golden
broth
would be chicken soup. Chicken soup.
Yeah, chicken soup.
I like the noodles. That's clever. I like it. That's a real nice metaphor there. I like how I wrote, I know nothing, on your comment.
Well, news for now.
Excellent.
Hatter, after your great success with working out how the person was disposed of, did you want to say something about Stephen's poem?
It didn't load up on my page, so I just got here. I know it's short. I'm looking at it over. Soup is good food. Like fast food, it's good food quickly. Is that the term? Surface. Swim past orange nickels and translucent green crescent moons. Ah, it's Lucky Charms.
Maybe.
It's a steaming
food.
Now, Stephen, did you want to say a few words about any of your upcoming shows and productions on your dial?
Oh yeah, our next show is Mortuary of Shadows, Monday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, and it is picture prompts of Mr. Freddy Krueger in the spirit of the Halloween month. So, just bring some rights about. Fun friend.
His good side. Yeah, okay. Pictures.
Don't go though, Stephen. I want you to hear my poem. I'm just about to finish.
Yes.
I'm finished. I'm just about to
post. Can
you put
it up there?
Well, good job there, Stephen. I didn't get to comment, but great job on that. And yes, they do.
Thanks, Wade.
I had a wonderful finish to my Perot story one off too, if you read it on the board. So I'll let you do that.
I like the last line.
You like that?
Yeah.
I thought that was really nice. Quite circular, but nice. You know? Just sort of finished it off quite nicely. Anyway, that's okay, as you do. My only ever attempt at writing. Anyway, and Deb, you're posting your poem as we speak?
I'm muted.
Hello, Deb.
Sorry, I didn't realize I was muted. Yes, I am. I am posting it right now. And then I'm going to run. Here I come. Here, come on. I was going to say I pushed the button and it's just like sitting there. Okay, good. Now there. Let me bring the link.
Yep.
Here we go. Come on. Team of Voices. Hey, right at the top. That never happens. Okay. There you go.
There it is. Got it.
There we go.
Okay, so like I had a wee bit of fun with this one, and it's called Potluck Puree and the Witch's Meaty Broth. Here we go. If the cook is raging, her recipe hits the menu. Villagers line up to eat the soup and the stew. Did you see the posters on all the storefronts? 8 men are missing from steak restaurants. Wives are out searching for a hint or a scoop. But did they see the meat in the witch's soup. All the pieces are chopped, diced, and minced. I saw that look, and you just winced. Are those red onions floating in stock bubbles? With the potato wedges and fat chunks and not little stubbles? Or are they eyeballs and phalanges, not vegetables? The chef asked the carrots with hummus and nuts, folded in crushed legumes, livers, and crumbled guts. Chicken bouillon, garlic, and bacon add flavor to the broth, and the bowls served are shaped like giant pig troughs. Buttered biscuits and applesauce are dished up, too, to sop up the green gravy and the liquid tomato goo. But is that sauce in that cauldron? In that coagulated hue? Taste and see. So can the waitress serve a bowl for you? And boom.
I'll take the tomato goo. Give me a bowl of that tomato goo.
Coming right up.
Jeez.
Stephen, did you want to have a chat about this one?
Well, you know, everything's better with bacon. It doesn't matter what you got in the bowl. You put the bacon in there and you're good.
I don't know about this one, though. Bacon and
like
butter, and you got me, but I still don't know if it could coax me into this brew.
It makes me think of a cheesy movie that Kay and I watched about a year ago called Eating Raoul, where a couple had their own restaurant that was failing, and when they killed the guy burglarizing them and served them up at the restaurant, and yeah, good stuff.
Wow.
All of a sudden, success.
I live with
that. Yeah.
Yeah, this is great. I bet I liked it too.
And you know, there were not one single maggot in that stew. Just saying. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. And Hatta, did you want to say a few words about that piece by Deb?
Yeah, I think I live by this this. Line, don't piss off the people that make your food.
Well, stories got to have a moral, right?
You just don't.
Well, of course.
You just don't.
Well, that's exactly right. Before you had a chef that's been guilty.
This is true.
Yeah, true enough.
I thought you could have pork chops and applesauce.
Yeah, okay, Mr. Brady.
Peter.
Oh dear. And Wayne, did you want to say something about this particular?
Yes, I did. I did. I've ate that soup before. It's quite hearty and manly. It's the coagulated hue is the coagulated hue is wonderful. The guts and nuts. That should be the name of the restaurant. Guts and nuts. That'd be a great name for the restaurant. It's a great point. I enjoyed it. That's the kind of point I love.
That's right near the Roadkill Cafe, isn't it?
It absolutely is right next door, and I'm glad you liked it, Wayne. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, there you go. Never knew I was going there, and we have. So, sort of silence of the lintels, really, and very, very nice. I'm going to go back to video tape now after that piece, Deb, which most appreciated, and have a look and see what we have posted on the board, because it's always useful to actually go and make sure that you know everybody has got a poem, and I think we have one there from you, Wayne. If I had to,
yes,
I'm going to put your poem.
I did write a poem today.
Excellent.
It's just another one.
Well, here we go. It is up on the board now.
All right. I wrote this today right before the show started, maybe about an hour or so ago. So it's really fresh. It ain't like Debbie's all killer and everything. But if I can get to it, I can't get to it right now. There it goes. I'm going to get there in just a second. There I am right there. Okay. This is called Out on the Town.
And it goes like this. Went out to party with my favorite group. There were so many of us, we looked like a troop. Our favorite bar was down on the loop. We just finished watching our team shoot the hoop. My ex was following us. She's such a snoop. There's no telling how far she'll go or how low she'll stoop. Every time I see her, my jaw starts to droop. It takes me about a week for me to get regroup. As soon as we walked, parked, she would swoop. She was beside me before I could get out of my coupe. She yelled, "What are you doing? What's the scoop? Ain't you going to tell me?" I said, "Nope." We went into the bar, started to holler and hoop. Some of the guys got mad and started a coop. I didn't care. I went to buy me some soup. Then I had to run home and take a poop. Ian?
Put that in the loop.
You guys had a bit of a loop. What? I was smoking pressure. Buddy, you're still with us at the minute? No, Steve's gone, but we do have Hannah. Hannah, did you want to say a few words about that, please?
Yeah, it sounds like a mop the hoop bowl. No, that's not it. Yeah, I didn't know there were so many words. I love it. Asked, ain't you going to tell me? I said, nope.
It was very fun. It was very fun.
Deb, did you want to say some words about Wayne's piece?
Well, absolutely. For one thing, it cracked me up, like you always do. But oop is a hard mono rhyme, and you carry it all the way through without it being ridiculous. It was really fun. As soon as we parked, in she would swoop. She was beside me before I could get out my coupe. She yelled, "What are you doing here? What's the scoop?" Ask, "Ain't you going to tell me?" I said, "Nope." I don't know why that one, yeah. Nope, struck me so funny, because it doesn't quite until you turned it into nope, which tickled my fancy. So thanks for the giggle. Nope.
The loop.
Oh, dear me. Well, it's very, very hard to follow that poem, Wayne. So I have to turn to one of the great poets in order to... And so, of course, I have a poem by Banjo. It's called Mulligan's Mare. And it goes a little bit like this. O'Mulligan's bar was the deuce of a place to drink and to fight and to gamble and race. The height of choice spirits from near and from far were all concentrated on Mulligan's bar. There was Jerry the Swell and Jockey Boy Ned, Dog Bite Me so-called from the shape of his head, and a man whom the boys in their musical slang designed as the gaffer of Mulligan's gang. Now, Mulligan's gang had a racer to show, a bad one to look at, a good one to go. Whenever they backed her, you safely might swear she'd walk in a winner with Mulligan's mare. But Mulligan, having some radical views, neglected his business and got on the booze. He took up with runners, a treacherous troop, who gave him away, and he fell in the soup. And so it turned out, on a fine summer's day, a bailiff turned up with a writ of fee fay. He walked to the bar with a manner serene. "I levy," said he, "in the name of the Queen." Then Mulligan wanted, in spite of the law, to pay out the bailiff with one on the jaw. He drew out to hit him, but ere you could wink, he changed his intentions and stood him a drink. A great consultation there straightaway befell twixt Jockey Boy Neddy and Jerry the Swell, and the man with the head who remarked, "Why, you bet, Dog Bite Me," said he, "but we'll diddle him yet. We'll scoop out the mare from her stall in a crack and put her in the place of an old broken-down hack. The hack is so like her, I'm ready to swear, the bailiff will think he has Mulligan's mare. So out with the racer and in with the screw, we'll show him what Mulligan's talent can do. And if he gets nasty and dares to say much, I'll knock him as stiff as my grandmother's crutch." Then off to town went the mare and the lad. The bailiff came out, never dreamt he was had, but marched to the stall with a confident air. "I levy," said he, "upon Mulligan's mare."
He watched her by day and watched her by night. She was never an instant let out of his sight. The races were coming away in the west, and Mulligan's mare had a chance. But here's a chance, thought the bailiff, to serve my own ends. I'll send off a warrant to my bookmaking friends. Get all you can borrow, beg, have a mare, and lay the whole lot against Mulligan's mare. The races came round, and a crowd on the course were laying the mare till they made themselves hoarse. And Mulligan's party with ardour intense, they backed her for pounds and for shillings and pence. And think of the grief of the bookmaking host at the sound of the summons to go with the post, for down to the start with a thoroughbred air, as fit as a fiddle, pranced Mulligan's mare. They started and off went the boy to the front. He cleared out at once and he made it a hunt. He steadied his round in the corner they wheeled, they gave her a head and she smothered the field. The race put her owner right clear of his debts. He left the fortune in stakes and in bets. He paid the old bailiff the whole of his pelf and gave the hiding to keep for himself. To all you bold sportsmen, take warning, I pray. Keep clear of the running, you'll find it don't pay. But the very best rule that you'll hear in a week is never to bet on a thing that can speak. And whether you're lucky or whether you lose, keep clear of the cards and keep clear of the booze. And fortune and season will answer your prayer and send you a flight like Mulligan's mare.
Mulligan's mare.
Don't you love when he reads Banjo Hatter?
Yeah. There's a mulligan in my stew.
I actually read that out of the Saltbush Bill JP book that I have, rather than being online. It's far better to read it from the book. But anyway, there you go. I thought that was fun. But anyway, that's just me. I thought it was fun. Did you like the poem, Wayne?
That was a great. I thought it was a wonderful brevity. I enjoyed the poem a whole lot. He did a good job of the poem. It was a great poem. He did Australian. I'm trying to spell Australian, and I was having problems doing my comic because I can't spell Australian, and I finally got it right, so my comic will pop up here in a minute.
Oh, well done.
So, anyway, so I'm having trouble spelling. Poet, he's from Australia. He's a great poet.
Oh, no, he's good fun. And I, when I have a chance, just occasionally, I bring the banjo home. So I am going to go to Gerald Green's poem next, Deb. And I am going to remind Hatter at the time I do this that we need a theme for next week. Yes?
Okay.
So at some point in time, in the not-too-distant future, I'm going to turn to you and I'm going to go, Hatter, what's the theme? Anyway, before I do that, I'm going to play Gerald. Here we go. This is Gerald Green.
Soup to Sell Conundrum, written in red by Gerald Green. Primordial soup remains in the lexicon of the evolutionist, oversimplifying the complex, refusing to acknowledge immensity of differences between soup and cell. Oh, he says, red blood cells carry oxygen, but developed over time. He speaks with confidence while failing to describe how bones decided on their own to build red blood cells, how these specific cells developed an outer membrane containing specialized proteins to regulate the cell's liquidity and to carry information for others to recognize it as non-threatening. Why should every bone decide to make such a cell when a bone can't be alive without already having them? While treating this question with disdain, he brushes it aside by saying, the soup took time. End poem.
Gerald, you really sort of gone with the full press soup there. Really have. It worries me when I have a poem about soup and I learn 25 things about the human body along the way. But anyway, Deb, did you want to say some things about Gerald's soupy poem?
Well, okay. For starters, look at his title, Soup to Sell Conundrum. We're not talking about selling it at the supermarket. We're talking about the C-E-L-L, sell, for those who can't see the poem, which creeped me out already. And then if you could see the photo, it's like there's these squiggly worms popping out of green goo in the colors of some good old-fashioned Campbell soup.
Campbell soup,
which, when I don't feel well, I reach for a can of Campbell's chicken noodle soup. Big spender for a dollar, but it makes me feel better.
Yep.
But, but when you start off a poem that says primordial soup remains in the lexicon, I start to rethink of my soup just a little. Speaking of confidence, while failing to describe how bones decided on their own to rebuild red blood cells, you don't expect someone to break down, I believe was might have been said already, into the scientific things with words like membranes and specialized proteins. It's just way to make me rethink my soup. And I, you know what's the I don't know if ironic's the right word, but the most ironic part is I intentionally wrote a poem and filled it with livers and eyeballs and stuff, trying to make it sound grody and ew. Then Gerald sat down with his brain and put some membranes and proteins in there and freaked me out with reality. So you just never know what this man will send us. Wow,
you don't,
wow, wow.
You don't. No. No, he took it in his own unique path. Wayne, did you want to say a few words about Gerald?
Well, of course, of course. You know, I said the bones are not alone. The bones are not alone. You have to have. You don't have to have. You don't have to be alive to live. You don't have to be alive to live. This has to be alphabet soup. And the red cell. And he said the red blood cells carry oxygen. Aha! He didn't say how much oxygen they carry. The hell with the cell. Let's eat soup.
Rude. True, very
and
true.
Apple
soup, man. Oh, and I was going to ask your thoughts, Hannah. What are your thoughts on this particular soupy?
I took it as the simplified definition of the DNA.
Oh, okay.
And I'd like to ask a question. Everybody raised their hands and think we climbed out of a primordial soup. That's what I thought.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, very nice. No. I like the connection there. Well, that's probably true, Wayne, technically. But you know, we had to get out there eventually, and I think if we jumped, that was probably a better way to do it. So,
why did we leave the water? Why did we leave the soup? See, Darwin lied.
Well, that's right. Well, I'm not sure about that, Hatter, but he was probably trying to work his thoughts through. Now,
he fudged
I did have another soup poem, Hatter, and I did say that it was more down the line of where I thought that you might like it. So let me, particularly because it has shadows in it. So this is Shadows Run by me from a few years ago, and it goes a little bit like this. The shadows dance playgrounds, their lines swinging as a child, once follow down rolling hills, lines blurred as chases riled. Pea soup fog and mist catches, dissolves outlines dark blurred, on high clouds in floating rays, lies fading or weather stirred. Turned heads towards equator, reflection narrowed, hard to see, down underground inside earth, dainty copies left for surface flee. Friends, partners in team fickle disappear towards sunset eve, an altar of sun's seesaw game, grey ghost fails on night's weave in poem. See, I like that.
Grey ghost fails on night's weave.
What happens to shadows when night comes? Anyway, Deb, you may not even have remembered this one. This is a very old one.
Yeah.
So,
I was going to ask you if there was a chance I had saw it before, but But I like the little pea soup fog and mist captures dissolved outlines, dark blurred on high clouds and raised lines fading or weather stirred. Turned head towards equator, reflected, narrow, hard to see. The wording for the shadows is really cool. And the end, on altar of sun, seesaw game. Gray ghost falls on night weave. But that's kind of brilliant at the end, the altar of the sun's seesaw game. Very, very cool images there. Great little couplets.
Well, I thought it was really neat. I didn't remember this poem at all, actually, but I thought it was quite neat. Wayne, what did you think?
Well, I heard the poem, but my cat was raising hell, so I had to go let her out. So I just heard about it. I don't even know what it. I didn't get to comment.
No, all good. Hatter, were you able to follow through with this one?
Yeah, I'm still trying to read it to catch what's going on here. You asked where shadows go. They dissolve to the morning dew. That's where shadows go. How come there's no shadows in the morning? They are in the... Yeah.
I feel like shadows
were
the prompt on a show that night or something. Maybe even at the last gig.
There might have been something about shadows. And that's. But I kind of like where I took this, actually. It's a little esoteric, but it's kind of nice that sort of shadows sort of have their own sort of way of being almost, and that it sort of floats with where the sun happens to be, and you have to sort of turn your head around to try and find them. I kind of like it. I know you think about shadows, and that's why I thought, well, this is kind of funky.
Yeah, you don't fear shadows unless they start to run.
Yeah.
They run.
Yeah. So.
Like that one, Wayne?
Now. No, Wayne didn't say it. He was
I didn't hear it. I didn't think my cat was reading the hill.
Yeah. So. Now, Hatter, I'm going to ask you the question, which is, do you have thought topic for next week?
I'm thinking create a similar event like Halloween. Make your own holiday.
I'll make your own holiday.
You make your own holiday similar to Halloween theme. Something that comes from the past, something that you create that's new. Just what do you do on this holiday?
Okay. Create your own holiday. Yeah? That's where we are.
Create your own holiday. Sort of a Halloween thing, though. Scary. A dark side.
Yeah, create your own holiday. And
create
and,
a scary
and your,
holiday. Mm-hmm.
And righto. Now, Deb, we have successfully got through the show almost exactly an hour, which is kind of fun, really. So I was going to ask everybody and close up shop. I think you want to...
That very much works for me this week. So if it works for you, we're good.
Okay. Well, did you want to say a few words about the show coming, Deb?
Tomorrow is Sunday, and that means that it is adult-only night. And at adult-only night, I was under the impression that we're supposed to be creating a monster. So I'm looking here. Sunday, it's Pretty Sweet Tease. And this week it's all about Monster Mash. The sensual side of spooky season is upon us. Think of your favorite monster, Frankenstein, vampires, werewolves, da-da-da-da-da. And pictures will be added for inspiration. And take it where you will. And that's tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern. Also at 10 p.m. Eastern on Monday, it's the Cupcake Show. And I am looking forward to see what everybody does with their chosen cupcake. And I know that by the end of the show, not only will I be jonesing a cupcake, but I will be kicking myself in the butt for picking this category. But I also know that Miss Sky wrote a special poll for me for tomorrow that already made it to the front page. And I can't get past the title of the poem without getting tears in my eyes. So I'm afraid to hear what she brings me Monday, but I also can't wait. And then Tuesday is Sky, and she's got some really clever stuff that she discovered down the tube. So that's the next few days. And Sky show is at 8 p.m. Eastern time Tuesday.
Yes, so earlier on. Yep. Okay. Hannah, did you want to say some words or some insightful things before we close up shop?
I think I've said too much already.
Okay. Well, I have to say, you actually zoned in on the appropriate death for the poor Lord that was sort of knocked off. So there's some points coming your way, Hatto, when I get myself organized for that cleverness. And I'm not sure if we'll do another Perot sort of thing, Deb, but it was interesting to try something different. So
it was really, really cool, AP. I think that it was like, what a cool idea, and to give us stuff to guess about when you bring out the competitiveness and everybody. That's always fun. So there's that. And I'll have to remember to tell you that a lot of people are bugging me for some more Name That Tune-ish show. And I might just need to draft a singer once a month. Hint. But anyway.
Yeah. Anyway.
Fun show and a great idea on the poem.
Lots of, you know, different things to try, and there's no harm trying some different things, and at least we're out there trying them, Deb.
And the little segments are fun too, because you don't know what's gonna come. We have the collab, and we have the little this and the little that, and it's really cool.
Yeah.
And even bringing a I would say banjo or a Lawson or some other poet from down under to treat us to is a nice addition as well. So keep it coming.
Yeah. No. Was it nice? We've only gone for an hour, but we've got a lot done, which is kind of cool, really. We didn't sort of waste any time along the way. So my thanks to Stephen and to Sky and to Wayne and to yourself, Deb, and Hatter for coming along for the ride, the soupy ride that we had. And my thanks to all the people who wrote to the prompt. We really had some really interesting writes. Thanks to Gerald for sending a SoundCloud as well. It's been a great, neat little show. So my thanks to everybody for being along for the ride, so to speak. And we will be back next week with the holiday show, Hatter, the spooky holiday show. And we'll see what people come up with as their holidays and how.
Yeah.
So that should be intriguing. So, but until then,
we're going to have Halloween on.
Halloween is on Naughty Night, and Pre-Bird is
Halloween night.
Okay, so we'll have the night before, we'll have Halloween Eve.
We'll have the night before.
We will have Mischief Night that week. So give that some thought, you guys. But like right now we have the spooky holiday, and then AP will choose one, and then there'll be one left, which we can call Mischief Night.
There you go.
Saints Night, however you want to, the Night of the Dead. There's all kinds of names.
Have a costume ball.
That would be fun,
don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. That'll be fun. Okay. Well, thank you, everybody. It's been a pleasure. I'm going to grab the old theme from Ice House and Ivor Davies and roll it out with that. And
we'll see you next week for the new holidays. It'll be really interesting to see which people come up with. So, thanks
great
everybody.
Show,
and
guys.
To have
love and respect. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. We'll talk soon. So, remember, for next week, it's design your own holiday and have the wonderful world of Halloween as your idea in mind. So, we look forward to seeing what you come up with. And until then, we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Night.